Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is New Mexico State University Professor of History, Dr. John Hunter. He'll be touring the nation as part of the National Park Service Centennial. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you very much, Emily. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. Well, this is the day before you take off on your trip. But let's talk about your passion or your drive, since it's called Driven by History, to visit our nation's magnificent and unique parks.
Well, I'm a really, very lucky person. I'm going to have a sabbatical this fall, and I'm going to be traveling around the country, north, south, east, and west, visiting those places that are preserved by the national park system where history actually happened.
And that happened started 100 years ago.
Well, the National Park Service started 100 years ago, but some of these sites go back to pre-contact Native American sites, so they go back thousands of years.
So you're going to be doing a lot of research. Research has been done on some of these parks, mm-hmm. but what further research will you be doing?
I'll be immersing myself in the landscape. I'll be talking with the staff that know these parks intimately. I'll be visiting with the visitors who come, and I'll just try to get a full feeling of what the park is about. It's one thing to read about a park in a book or even watch Ken Burns' wonderful documentary about the national parks, but to actually be there and go there. Last week I was up at Sand Creek Massacre site in Colorado. I mean, it's a very humbling site, and it's minimal. There's not a lot of interpretation there. You can't really get into the massacre site, but you can just see it and just imagine the horror of that happened there 120, 30 years ago.
So was this the start of your tour?
I did a quick little trip up the Santa Fe Trail. And I went to Fort Union, I went to Bent's Old Fort, went to Sand Creek Massacre and Fort Larned. So, and I became a historian on the Santa Fe Trail, so it was kind of nice to start the trip on the Santa Fe Trail first.
When did you become a historian on the Santa Fe Trail?
Well, that was back in the 1980s. I was driving trucks full of art up to Denver, and I saw the Santa Fe Trail, and it's just something that grabbed me by the lapels, and I started reading more and more about the Santa Fe Trail. So when it was time to do a life change, I became a historian, and I thought I'd be a Santa Fe Trail historian, but instead I became an atomic historian.
And what is an atomic historian?
Well, I have a book out about the social and cultural history of Los Alamos, where the atomic bomb was born, and then another, a biography of J. Robert Oppenheimer.
That ought to be very interesting as well. But let's get back to this passion about going out to these magnificent parks. Which park are you looking forward to visiting first?
Tomorrow I will, if all things go well, be up at Arches. And it'll take a day to drive up there. And so the next day I'll be at Arches in eastern Utah. It's a wonderful geological park. So it's not quite a historic park, but there's some just jewels of natural beauty that I can't pass by. After that, I'll be going to Golden Spike, where the Transcontinental Railroads came together in 1869 and united the country after the Civil War. I'll be making my way up to Seattle, going to a Japanese internment World War II camp. That's a national park site. The Nez Perce battlefield site, Hanford, where part of the atomic bomb was made. So it's a wide range. It's Native American sites, some pre-contact sites, some after contact with Europeans. It's Spanish colonial sites, territorial sites, even 20th century sites.
And will you be doing this alone?
Most of the time I'll be alone. I do have some friends that are going to join me. I'm blogging about this at my address, which is drivenbyhistory.blogspot.com. And I invite everybody who reads the blog to come join me in my RV, everybody. So it's going to be kind of crowded in there, but I do welcome people to come join with me.
So on your blog, you'll be posting photos and talking about the sites?
I'll be writing about the sites. I already have about 15 or 18 histories of national parks on that that I've been doing, putting on once a week since February. I post every Monday night, and now I'll be starting to post from those places that I've been to that week.
Well, I'd like to invite you to talk to us once a month through your trip, so we can follow you. That would be awesome for you to talk to us here on Puentes, and you're being a bridge to our national parks.
That'd be very exciting for me to call in once a month and talk with you, Emily.
That'll be great. Well, what else does this do? The Park Service, 100 years, what does it do for us locally, nationally, and worldwide?
Locally, we get a lot of benefits from the tourists who come to White Sands, who come to the Gila Cliff Dwellings. So it is an economic generator. Tourism is economic development. Nationally, these parks are places where history actually happened, at least many of the ones that I'm going to go to. Our country was formed at Independence Hall in Philadelphia. It was fought over at Concord and Gettysburg and Palo Alto Battlefield, where the Mexican-American War started. I'll be visiting all these sites. Internationally, the national park system that was born 100 years ago is now a model for countries around the world to preserve their natural beauties, their gems, as well as their historically significant places. So there's just a lot of reasons. And I think one of the takeaways I got from visiting the Sand Creek Massacre site, where U.S. soldiers slaughtered a peaceful village of Cheyenne and Arapaho, is that this is an incredible country that can commemorate that site of a failure of a lot of what we stand for, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And the fact that we commemorate that site and we preserve it to the best of our ability, I think says a lot about who we are as a country.
And when you come back in the fall, how is this going to help our students at NMSU?
Well, part of it is this wonderful field of digital humanities that I'm blogging with. And so my students, especially the public history students who want to go out and work in the parks or in museums, places like that, they need to get experience with the digital world. So I'm using my experience and my blog to help the students have a digital presence. I think that's very important. And then also, I'll have hundreds and thousands of photographs of these places that I'll incorporate into my U.S. history survey, my 20th century history course, my public history courses.
And is there going to be a special speaker series in the fall, something new added?
Well, this is with the public history program in the history department with Dr. Peter Cupp and Dr. Dwight Pitcathley and also Dr. Carol Campbell from the geography department. So there's going to be a lecture series through the fall every other week of people who are involved with the national parks, sometimes superintendents of nearby parks, other people who just who have written books about the environmental impact of climate change on national parks. What will happen with the Glacier National Park when there's no more glaciers? It's going to be a wide-ranging lecture series. And then in December, the Academy of Learning and Retirement is having the four of us come and give a lecture about the national parks, the beginning of the parks in the 20th century, the bio blitz that just happened last weekend around the country, and then my own traveling through the parks.
Tell me about this bio blitz.
It's an incredible thing. Volunteers, I think, went to 100 parks around the country, and there's 410 altogether, and they documented every living thing they saw. They documented plants, insects, animals, birds. They documented everything, and they actually competed with different parks of how many species of living things they could document. And it was kind of to provide a foundation for what lives at the parks.
That is something very unique. And also, are those that did this bio blitz, these are park rangers or people who work for the parks or students?
It's a wide range of people. There were a lot of national park personnel who worked at these bio blitzes, but there was a contingent from the geography department here that went up with Carol Campbell and looked and documented what the creatures and the plants were that they saw. There were volunteers from all over the country going to different parks, so it was quite an incredible event.
Here in New Mexico, especially in the southern part, what are the least known areas or parks or preservation areas?
One of my favorite parks down south is the Gila Cliff Dwellings. That's just such a jewel, and it's so incredible that you can hike up into the actual caves and then go through the ruins that people lived in the 13th century. It's just as mind-blowing every time I go to it.
And there's petroglyphs as well.
Mm-hmm, the petroglyphs at Gila Cliff Dwellings or up in Albuquerque?
At the Cliff Dwellings, there's some areas. And also,
there are petroglyphs there.
Yes, and the City of Rocks.
Well, it's a state park. That's a wonderful place, too.
And you can find petroglyphs there, too.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah.
So that's something interesting. And maybe going along the arroyos and finding Indian arrowheads and mm-hmm. and pottery chips and
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm. There's layers of human inhabitation around here, and actually in everywhere in the United States. People have been living around here for 10, 12,000 years. So you don't have to scratch very far to find different people, and some with quite advanced civilization, say at Chaco Canyon, another one of my favorite places, where it was just very sophisticated civilization that they had at Chaco.
Now, going back to also preserving, because you are involved here locally in helping preserve buildings, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Well, I teach a class on historic preservation, where students who want to go out into the field and take a historic building, preserve it, want to document a historic district. I was involved with David and Janet Clements in the nomination to get Mesilla Park on the State and National Register of Historic Places. So it's wide-ranging. Sometimes it's bricks and mortar, where you work with, say, adobes, like we did with your house many years ago. We stuccoed, lime stuccoed your house. That was nice. But also just looking at houses, studying neighborhoods, trying to figure out what can be preserved, what should be preserved. And because that's the fabric of our past, those buildings. Partly it's how people lived in those buildings, partly it's those buildings, but it's also the genealogy of those buildings. Who lived there and what did they do when they lived there?
And a lot of them started out as one room and then added on mm-hmm. and added on.
Mm-hmm.
And you see so many of these adobe structures falling down, mm-hmm. not being kept up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel?
Well, of course, it's very sad. Adobe is such a wonderful medium to work with. The Mesilla Valley Preservation Inc. is going to do a workshop coming up on the effect of salt in adobes. They're doing some incredible research on that. David Rockstraw and Eric Liefeld. So they're doing a workshop. It's just a very exciting time to be a historic preservationist in the desert.
And does this passion, because it's very contagious, that feeling that you want to go and do something.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get students to go out and do it?
Well, at the end of the historic preservation class last fall, we had a field day where we went to J. Paul Taylor's parking lot, where his son Pat Taylor had a big pile of dirt. And I kid with Pat. I say he's OCD. He's obsessive compulsive dirt. And we just made some adobes for him. And these students just plunged right in. I mean, really plunged. I mean, you have to push your hands into the mud with the forms to make sure that the mud fills out the forms all the way. So they just plunged right in, and it was a great way to end the semester.
Well, I really look forward to listening to your Driven by History blog, and you'll be giving a report to us once a month. We'll find out some more and how you've done starting off tomorrow and going off to your first place, the Arches, and that's in Utah.
Yes.
Well, thank you again, and Dr. John Hunter, professor of history at New Mexico State University.
It's a pleasure to talk with you, Emily.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.